much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, I'm so excited and honored to have Pastor Mike Smith of Redeeming Love Church in studio with me today. He's also the chaplain for the Minnesota Senate. We're going to talk about three things: faith, hope, and love, which are so necessary for us to really reflect Christ's heart to a world desperately in need. I'm going to get him on here in just a moment. I'm just anticipating a power-packed conversation. Couple quick announcements. One, I've just been mentioning this, just a personal challenge that I've just decided to just undertake during the month of May, and I'm challenging you to join me. It's a challenge to do four things, and I'll explain here exactly why. I've been watching some of the work my hubby's been doing in Rwanda, and we have two African sons that he mentors, and we're helping get on their feet, get businesses started. And we've learned so much about the genocide in the process. And the president of Rwanda has really, really taught the people not to identify themselves as Hutus or Tutsis anymore. They're Rwandans. And these dear Rwandans, they're watching how divided we are as a nation. And they're saying and they're thinking, this cannot end well unless we have a change of heart. So this is a challenge for all of us who follow Christ, and I challenge you to join me. It's just four simple things for this month of May. One, refuse to say anything negative about your city, about your nation, and about the church. Refuse. I mean, when you start to pay attention, you'll be amazed at how often you critique your pastor or maybe call, you know, a slur about the government or what's happening in the country. What if you just stopped it? Every day, pray a prayer of blessing on your city, in your nation, in your church. And I say, speak it out loud so your own ears hear it. Thirdly, I ask you to pray a specific prayer for our first responders, our law enforcement officials, our teachers, our pastors, their families. Pray specifically for these people who are on the front lines. And then fourth, just commit to living in your sphere of influence with humility, grace, and love. I just dare you. What do you say? And now my other announcement real quick is that I'll be in the Fargo-Moorhead area this weekend speaking at First Assembly. Friday night is open to guys and gals. Saturday morning, just the first half of the day for women only. Love to meet you face-to-face. You can get tickets on the day of. Check out First Assembly in Fargo. You'll see all the information there. So let me tell you about my guest, and we will get him on the show. Super excited. Minnesota Senate Chaplain and Senior Pastor Mike Smith. He's a pastor of Redeeming Love Church, and it's a congregation merging urban and suburban believers in Christ. Mike's opened the doors of his church to host many Twin Cities, state, and international conferences, as well as provided a location to gather for special community events. He is a kingdom man. He really is. He currently serves as chaplain for the Minnesota Senate, and we are honored to have him with us in studio today. Pastor Mike, welcome.
Susie, it's good to be here, and we just appreciate the opportunity that we can to be able to encourage people and strengthen people every single day. And that's what you do. So I'm thankful for that.
Thank you so much. Always honored to partner in the kingdom with you, truly. So we love to start by talking scripture, and you chose Acts 8:8. So there was great joy in that city. Talk about that passage.
Boy, you know, that's such a powerful passage because just before it talks about how Philip just came and ministered in a city, and he ministered in the power of Jesus Christ. He actually demonstrated or represented Jesus to the Samaria, and as he did that, people were set free. They were healed, and they heard the good news about the kingdom of God. And as a result, there was great joy in the city. And you know, I've been pastoring in this city for a long time. You know, it's been I hate to say it, but it's almost four decades.
Wow.
But in this time, there's something within my heart that's always wanted to have that description about the Twin Cities, where all over people would say, look at the Twin Cities. There's great joy in that city. And we know that that joy comes from the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy.
Amen. We've got friends listening from Hartford, Connecticut, Madison, Waterloo, Des Moines, all
sure.
over the place, and New Smyrna Beach, Florida, all over. And so the challenge is for you. What if people of your city said, you know, there was great joy in the city? We need to see the power of God manifest in our midst. You know, it's the religious duties that won't cut it. We really need an encounter with the Most High God, because that's what people were experiencing in that day as well.
Well, I believe that. Susie, I believe that church is going to be redefined in this day.
I
really believe we're coming into a time where all of us are recognizing. I know some of us right now recognize that the way we've done it in the past needs to be changed, and we step into a whole new realm because, you know, the population of our cities is just growing, you know, and I believe that God's called the church really to be the most powerful force of love that a city could ever know. And amen. I believe that we're about to see a redefinition of what church is.
Oh, amen. Well, before we even dig more deeply into this conversation, Pastor, you just said that you just came from a meeting and got some news, and we just want to kind of put put feet to our faith and do some praying here on the show today. Tell us an update that you just received.
Well, you know, Paul Ridgway is the talk host of KKMS, and I just heard he's a good friend. A friend to many, and I just heard that he's in critical condition in the hospital, and we really are challenged. I've been challenged just within the past hour that we really need to lift him up before the Lord in prayer. And you know, we're one body, and one of the things I've appreciated about KTIS and KKMS, the radio stations, are all sharing the air, and it seems like there's such a unity that's bringing people together, and we can lift up that station right now. We can
lift up
Paul Ridgway before the Lord. There's a place in the Bible says in Psalm 107:20, says he sent his word and he healed them.
And rescued them from the grave.
Yes, and rescued them from the grave. And I believe that we can send the word right now to that hospital room and bring healing and just raise up that man.
I'm going to ask you to do that in a minute, but I just couldn't agree with you more. You know, one of the things I refer back to in the book of Genesis, it talks about the Tower of Babel. And the two motivations for building that Tower of Babel were these: to protect our interests and to make a name for ourselves. And I, you know, those are... You see those rise up sometimes in under the guise of Christianity, but there's no place for them in the kingdom. There's no place for competition. You know what Jesus said? Pray for more workers. Don't be threatened by the few. You know what I mean?
Isn't that right?
I mean, the work exceeds the workers. And so one of our fellow workers is in critical condition right now.
Amen.
So Pastor Smith, would you please pray for him?
All right. We're going to join our faith together right here in this studio, but with everybody who's listening. And even if you don't know him right now, we just join together. And Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We lift up Paul. I don't know everything that he's going through right now. I don't know all the medical condition, but I do know this, that you're the Savior, you're the healer, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we do send your word right now into that hospital room. Whatever procedures are happening right now, we pray that the angelic host, the angels of the armies of heaven, would just saturate that place, fill that place right now with the presence and the glory of God, and just release healing and raise Paul up in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's Paul Ridgway. Please keep him in your prayers. He's right now at this moment in critical condition. And as we were talking about love and even talking the kingdom, if you don't mind, I would love to read the amplified version of the love chapter from 1 Corinthians 13, just because I just want you to hear it afresh. Is that okay? And I'd love for you to speak to it, if you would, Pastor.
Yeah.
Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It's not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades or ends. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Then I became a man. I did away with childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part, just in fragments. But then I will know fully, just as I've been fully known by God. And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, and love, unselfish love for others, growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest of graces, but the greatest of these is love. Isn't that amazing?
You know, that's such a powerful translation, too, mm-hmm. I believe. But, you know, when it comes to that very last part, it says there's three things that remain, faith and hope and love. I believe that if those things remain, I believe that those three things are the values, the core values of any ministry that's going to be sustained, any work of God that's going to have a continual and lasting effect. But the thing that seems to challenge that is our own insecurity and our own inferiority. You know, we're not, it says we're made complete in love, you know. Mm-hmm. And when we don't feel like we're complete, and when we feel like it's because of our own insecurity and inferiority, and those things can be so easily in like snares for our heart, yeah, and pull us away. But when we begin to come into an understanding that this love is a person, it's not a concept.
Exactly.
It's a person. You know, Susie, over about 20-some years ago, we were going through a transition, a change in our church. We were moving into a new building. God was blessing us. We were in the suburbs. But we felt like, I've always known that God called us into the heart of the city. So we took a large congregation, moved into the city, but we changed the name. One of the things that we did was we changed the name to, we prayed, actually. We were asking, God, what would you call us? You know, we came up with all kinds of names. You know, people were giving their opinions, but we just said, Lord, what are you calling us? You know, Isaiah 43 says, fear not, I've called you by name, and you are mine.
Love it.
And so we started saying, what is it that you're calling us? And to shorten the story, we just felt that God was speaking to our hearts corporately, saying, Redeeming Love Church. And when we pulled back and looked at that, I thought, I hadn't known a church with that name. But God began to just, again, speak to a heart and said this, just the way he was going to redefine church in the future, there's going to be a redefinition of love. It's going to be the most powerful force on the earth because it's Jesus.
Amen. And we've not known it up to this point. It's in the Word, and love has a name, and it's Jesus. But you're so right. Inferiority, insecurity, jealousy, fear, all these things have even more clouded our view. And Pastor, when you think about what Scripture talks about, do not fear. We have to reckon with our fear so we can more clearly identify love, right? Because
there
is no fear in love.
Perfect love casts out fear. All fear.
More great conversation with Pastor Mike Smith when we return. Don't go away. If you want to email a question in, just as you chime into the conversation, email me at Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have Senior Pastor of Redeeming Love Church, Mike Smith. He's also chaplain for the Minnesota Senate. And just love this man. You see a gathering in the city where people are appealing to heaven for their city, you're going to find Pastor Mike Smith right there and being a part of it. And I've always just admired you from afar, and I just find out that you're actually a brother to a precious friend of mine, and that means so much to me. Let's talk, if we would, and I think this story, as you said, involves Becky,
sure,
your dear sister, playing church versus power church, and you call this God's answer to terrorism. Talk more about that, if you would.
Well, you know, my sister, Becky, and I grew up in a pastor's home, and I remember when we were just really just children, about three, she would have been three and I would have been five. Mm. I'm in that age anyway. And my sister came up with the idea of, let's play church. Hmm. And so she had all of these dolls. And I remember this. She tons of dolls. And so she would take those dolls and set them up on chairs all around in the couch and all around our little living room that we had. I remember that so clearly. And then Becky would get up, and she's still a musician, but she would get up and she would just start leading all of these dolls and singing. And then she would, at some point, she would turn and she would say, and now here is our pastor to speak to us.
And 5 year old.
And now I think she probably forced me into this. You know,
exactly.
Becky was always a good drive in my life, you know. But, and so I would get up and I don't know what I would say. You know, I'd probably would just tell all those dolls that Jesus loved them. And, and you know, actually, when I think back, it prepared me for preaching to churches.
People.
Yeah, real people, because I get that same look in their eye, you know, that stare, you know, that, you know, every now and then one of them falls over and says, Mama, you know. But it was just this game. You know, we grew up in a pastor's home, and so that was a culture that we knew. And, you know, I thought about that one time, though. I thought, you know, playing church for children is really cute, but for adults, it's costly.
Mm.
And I thought about how so oftentimes there's so much of a church culture. You know, it's like we know when to sing and we know what to do and we know how to respond. And by the way, I believe we're sincere. Don't get me wrong. That there's no judgment here. I mean, I know what that's like. But there's been something in my heart for years, Susie. There's been aching for something more. I've been aching for something that would go beyond a church culture, that would impact people who are not in church. You know, we're surrounded by people who do not have a biblical worldview, who do not understand our culture. But I believe if they had an opportunity to have an encounter with our Christ, it would change everything.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that we're so aware of today is that terrorism really, when you use that word, terrorism or terrorists, it sends a chill into many people's hearts. It's a major issue internationally, of course. You know, what to do with this sense of terrorism? And it seems that in some people's minds, maybe many people's minds, that word, it becomes so powerful. The church that I believe is laying down its life in love has more power than terrorists.
Amen.
I've coined a phrase. I believe that God's raising up loveists. You know, instead of terrorism, there's going to be loveism. It's where people are going to lay down their life. They recognize within them that they've been playing church. And now I think there's this move of God that's saying, wait a minute, we're going to go beyond just going through the motions or just being in the culture. We're going to impact our cities for Jesus Christ, and we're going to fill it with loveism, with young people who are lovists, who lay down their life. Terrorists lay down their life to strike terror, but lovists lay down their life to release grace.
To release grace. Wow. You think of this passage that says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death.
Powerful.
And thinking, Pastor, you know, about so many stories we're reading of Muslims who are coming to Christ because they have a dream or a vision of Christ that they never had known before. I mean, but they knew he was the Christ, and they're leaving their faith to become Christians, but they're risking their lives when they do that. And they come to Christ in a supernatural, powerful way. And I feel that is so exciting to me. And yet I feel like if the majority and, you know, are playing church, if we're going through the motions, like let's say we're sincere, but we've lost our expectancy, you know, we're going through the motions and our lives aren't marked by power. I mean, I think it's 1 Corinthians 4:20 says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. But if we've lost our sense of power, so they're coming to Christ and they don't experience the kind of power with which they came to Christ, that's a problem too. I mean, there are lots of reasons we need to keep our ear bent towards heaven and keep an expectancy in our heart, right?
That's right. You know, you began with 1 Corinthians 13. You know, really, power is really from heaven. The kingdom power is permeated with love. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. You know, my wife, Sandy, and I do short-term mission work in Vietnam. We've been doing this for quite a few years. And, you know, we just try to go every year and just spend time with people. We go in the streets. And recently, I was just in Ho Chi Minh City. And, you know, it's a massive city, teeming with people. And, of course, in every kind of darkness is there. But we love it. And I was in this park area, and we were sharing Christ with young adults and college students. And I started looking at the city as I was in that park. And all of a sudden, the question came to me, I wonder if anybody weeps for this city.
Wow.
And I know that there are. But Jesus, when he saw Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem. And I started thinking about it. He cried out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And I sat there and I started to have tears in my eyes. I felt the compassionate love of Jesus for this dark third world country, you know, that's beyond what anything we experience in our culture right. In terms of need. And you feel overwhelmed with the need when you're there. But Jesus would look at them today and say, Ho Chi Minh City, Ho Chi Minh City. And actually, he'd look at Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Oh, I want to draw you to myself. And the way he does that, I believe, is through you and me, through people who are listening. If people can have an encounter with pure love that comes from the kingdom of God through in Jesus Christ, it will change the dynamic. And I've got a story about that when we have time to share just a little bit, if I could.
Yeah.
Just happened.
I can't wait for you to tell that story. We're coming up on a break, so I want you to save that for the other side. But when you think about if people could encounter love, I'm thinking of the listener going, how do I get there? I'm so wrapped up in my own stress and my own fears.
Oh, yeah.
How can I know the kind of love that Jesus had for others? Because really everything changes when you're starting to walk in that love where we actually love not our lives, even unto death. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to hear Pastor Mike's story, talking to Senior Pastor Mike Smith of Redeeming Love Church in the Twin Cities. We know we've got friends listening from around the nation. He's also the chaplain for the Minnesota State Senate. When we come back, I want to hear that story. I want you to answer that question. I also want to know what it's like being a chaplain in the Senate. What's the temperature there? What are you hearing? Love to know that. So more with Mike Smith when we return. You're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a really great conversation with Mike Smith. He's senior pastor of Redeeming Love Church in the Twin Cities. He's also the Minnesota Senate chaplain. And so we're just having all kinds of good conversation around what God wants to do in your city, what God wants to do in your heart. And you were saying before the break how really love is going to win the day. The love of Christ in us and through us is going to win the day. And this is a crazy day. I mean, how Scripture says a darkness covers the earth and a thick darkness covers the people. But the glory of the Lord is going to shine upon us. And that's going to be reflected in the way that we love people who probably are diametrically opposed to us in every way. And you were about to tell a story, but we came up upon a break. So take it if you would.
Well, Susie, you know, just to illustrate that, I want to back up and just say, I do believe that before people become Christians, they have an encounter with somebody who loves them. They always have that encounter. I believe that mercy always triumphs over judgment.
Amen.
You know, and I believe that the demonstration of mercy is greater, so much greater than a demand for just judgment. You know, and so to me, that's who God is. You know, He's merciful and He's compassionate, and you know, without a vision, people perish, but without compassion. A vision becomes empty.
Yeah.
It becomes empty. Mm-hmm. And so we had an experience just today that was so powerful. We were, a group of pastors, believers in Christ, gathered together. There probably I didn't count, but there probably was about 30 of us or more. And we met together with a group of Muslim imams. And we met in a mosque. And we came together with something that we wanted to do together. You see, Somalia is going through such a drought. And right now there's over 6 million people in Somalia that have no food. And we felt this heart cry that would pull us together to say, what can we do for Somalia? So we were there with Somalian Muslims, these imams. Something happened that really spoke to my heart. You know, each one of these imams got up and they would say a blessing over us and that we're going to work together to do this through an organization called Feed My Starving Children. And so what we plan to do together, believers and Muslims are going to come together at the St. Paul River Center, and we are going to we're going to bag 6 million bags of food packets through Feed My Starving Children. So we're discussing that, and then they asked Clarence St. John, who's the district superintendent for the Assemblies of God, if he would come and say a few things. And this is what got me. Clarence walked up to the microphone, and he turned to all those imams, and he looked at them with such a great heart, and he said, "We want you to know we love you." And then he said, "And we are thankful that you are in our city." And you could just feel the love that came out of him. And in that moment, you could just see that it just melted everybody's heart. He went on with that. I can't remember everything, but it just was such an expression from the heart of the Father. You see, before we try to go and win somebody for Christ, we got to love them for Christ. At the end of many of my messages, or at the end where I give a benediction, send them all out, I just tell them, remember, don't go out and win someone. Go out and love someone to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing that, you have no agenda. You're just encountering people with the pure love of God. And when that happens, it's amazing how God opens up the opportunities and people come to Christ.
Well, boy, people really do know when they're a project. They know when someone's got an agenda. But when you look at someone with a kindness in your eyes and a love for their heart and for their story, I mean, that's why sinners felt so safe in Jesus' presence. I think it was Matt Chandler said sin wasn't safe in Jesus' presence, but sinners were because they just knew that he was glad to see them, you know?
That's it. You know, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, or it could have been 15 or 20,000, some say, when he fed them, he didn't do it because they followed him. He did it because they were hungry. Hmm. He met them at the point of their need. It wasn't because they were the ones that followed. And he sees people, there's people listening right now that have a need. I know that. I know that people, they might not be starving physically, but maybe they're starving for relationship, or they're starving just because they're hungry for something that they don't have. Jesus wants to meet them right now at that point of need. And he does it not based upon what they do. It's based upon what he did. You know, forgiveness isn't a response to repentance. Repentance is a response to forgiveness. God forgave me first, and then when I knew that, I repented.
Yeah, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? And it's not that we loved God, it's that he loved us. So you serve in the Senate as a chaplain. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know, just behind the scenes, what's the temperature there? What's it like for you to serve in that regard?
Well, you know, it's an opportunity that I felt was so important. At the end of this last year, I was asked if I would consider being the Senate chaplain. And I already had such a full plate. I'm involved in a number of ministries in the Twin Cities. But I prayed about it. And I remember waking up after spending time fasting and praying, should I do this? And I woke up one time in the middle of the night, and just God began to speak to my heart. I don't know why he chooses the middle of the night. I wish it was in the middle of the day. Yeah. But I know why. It's because mm-hmm. it's a quiet time when everything's mm-hmm. still. And he began to speak to my heart about just show me just how government could be and what the potential is for government. And I started to see how there's such a divide right now in our nation because of politics. And God just spoke to my heart. And I believe that my part there is to go in and bless Minnesota. So I'm a Senate chaplain for Minnesota. They actually, the very first day then that Senate session opened, it was really, I didn't know what to expect. They had me, and along with the sergeant of arms and a couple other people, they had us stand in the front, and the whole Senate voted. And my wife was in the gallery. I was thinking, how terrible if they vote me out before I get in. But they, by God's grace, they all voted for me to be the Senate chaplain. Mm. And from that moment, I walked up onto the platform, and because they start every session with prayer. And if it's not me, there's another chaplain of the day, you know, a volunteer pastor, a clergy person that comes in. So no matter who it is, I dedicate at least one day a week. I talk with my board and my staff. They're great to work with. I'll tell you, I'm blessed with a great staff. I think they're beginning to realize they can run the church without me. And if they're listening right now, I don't, you know, I'll correct that later.
Exactly.
All right?
Yes.
But they started. But they just said, well, you know, they took care of everything, and they released me to do this. And so every day that I'm there, whether I'm the one that prays, I walk around on the Senate floor during the session, and I'm right there with them as they're discussing bills, and I'm praying. And I've already cast before all the Senate, could it be possible that we can, Republicans and Democrats alike in this room, is it possible that we can redefine what government should look like? Could it be, I hope everybody feels this about their state, by the way, but I'm one pastor that has this vision for the Twin Cities and vision for my area, vision for my state. And I started on that first session just blessing Minnesota. So I stood there and I just said, all the way from Hallock to Albert Lee, from Moorhead to Stillwater, Minneapolis and St. Paul, I declare, God bless you. And I believe there's power in blessing. And we're seeing some wonderful things happen in our Senate.
Boy, that's amazing. We're going to pause here. When we come back, tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. So when we come back, you're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the Twin Cities. And as Mike and I were talking during the break, things are happening all over the nation. Surely there's a gathering in your city. But I also want to know, Pastor, how you're praying for our nation. I'm going to ask you that question on the other side. Just how do you intercede for our nation and our leaders and our responders? Talking to Pastor Mike Smith, and we will be back. Amen. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And to open the show, I talked about just a personal challenge that I issued both on both my Facebook pages. Within a few hours on my fan page, it's kind of my bigger page, I think 150,000 people viewed it and 1,000 people shared it. And this challenge for just this month of May is really fourfold. It's one is to refuse to criticize and complain about your city, your nation, and the church. And I'm saying this, that it's just so easy to do that without even thinking about it. But what if you just stopped, not only for this month, but from now on, just as a kingdom person, you just didn't let that stuff come out of your mouth. What if you also prayed, interceded for our first responders, our police officers, our firemen, our paramedics, our teachers, our pastors, their spouses? Oh my goodness, what if you started to intercede? And what if you decided to live within your sphere of influence with humility and grace and conviction, and you just started to speak blessings over your city, over your nation? I'm telling you what, if you believe that God's word is true, something would change in the atmosphere.
That's right, Susie. You know, there's this passage in the Bible, you know, and sometimes in the Old Testament, we can read kind of quickly and pass over some things. When I'm reading the Old Testament, I feel like I'm mining for something, you know, and I came across this scripture in Deuteronomy 10:6, and it was God just telling Moses, this is what I want for my priests to do. And he said that Levites are to do three things. They're to carry the Ark of the Covenant and stand before me and minister to me and then pronounce blessing. And I looked at that and it just arrested my heart. And I saw three things. The first one is this. For every believer and every pastor, by the way, who's listening to this, and every leader, and by virtue of just being a believer, you become an influence. So I believe it's for every one of us. When we carry the covenant, when we understand our security is in the covenant of Jesus Christ on the cross and He giving His life for us so that we could have new life, when we carry the covenant of the resurrected Lord and Savior, when we carry that covenant with faith, it goes to those three things, faith and hope and love. When we carry that covenant with faith and we have an expectancy, which is hope, when we have that, then there's this compassion that moves out of us. We start to minister to the Lord. If we carry the covenant and minister to the Lord, it empowers our words and we can pronounce blessing. You know, I use the word redefine a couple of times here. I do believe that church is being redefined, and that's a good thing. You know, and what redefined, I don't mean in terms of just what it says in the dictionary, but just the experience of what church is by the world. And love is going to be redefined. Again, not a dictionary redefinition, but it's going to come with such a power that it's going to change everything. We're going to go, oh, that's what love is like. But I think the third thing is this, and you've already touched on it. It's a value I sense in this program and in your life and many who are listening. And that is this. There's this value of blessing in prayer. I believe prayer is going to be redefined. It's like the words coming out of your mouth at that moment have greater power than anything else. That's why Jesus said, I feel like I'm preaching, I'm sorry.
Go for it, love it.
I feel that, you know, you sense the presence of the Lord. I'm sensing that right now. Because I believe that the power of prayer is, you know, there's so many people that pray because of discipline, but that's being changed because of being in the presence of the Lord. There's an intimacy, and we become lovers of His presence. And we become so passionate for Him that we carry it out through the words that we're speaking. You said, you know, we should watch our mouth earlier, something to that effect. Well, you know, I heard somebody teach one time that this year is the year of the mouth. I don't know what, you know, it has to do with some Hebrew numbers, you know.
Wow, interesting.
But it's the year of the mouth. It is the year when Christians better watch what they're saying because there's power in their words. Now, on the other side of this, this is so positive because there's people listening right now that have been wondering if their prayers are effective. Their prayer in faith is going up like sweet incense before the Lord. And I believe that we're going to see a nation change because of the power of prayer. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations."
Boy, Pastor, and think about the two trajectories, the paths we could choose. You could sit and listen to rant, you know, in the news, and it stirs up your anger.
Oh, gosh.
You know, it gets you so mad. And what does it do? It gets you so angry towards the people who are pushing an agenda that's opposite of yours. And that is the antithesis of the love that God calls us
it
to have. And this isn't when, even when you're, I want to make sure this is clear because I'm sure I'll get an email. When you're saying redefine church, people are trying to redefine church in an anti-biblical way.
No,
and this is clear. You're not talking about that. Redefining in love and power and faith, right?
It's redefined. Probably it will be in our own eyes, but it will be redefined by the world.
Yes.
You know, many people see the church as a non-factor. And I'm just saying the redefinition is the church is supposed to be the most powerful influence in a community, much so that great joy is the result over a whole city.
And the reason I feel like this is so important that we're saying this is because, you know, get your news. You want to, you know, be abreast of what's going on, right? But if the fruit, because Jesus says things are proven right by their fruit.
That's
things
right.
are proven by their fruit. And if the fruit of listening to angry rant is making you hate the very people that Jesus says to love, then that's not a fruitful pursuit for you. And so maybe you need to fast from that. And maybe even during this particular month, you say, Lord, give me a heart for the very people that think totally different than me so I can reflect Christ to them.
Do you know, in the world right now, Susie, there is such a divide.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of anger. And we see people who are feeding off of the anger for one another. And so we as Christians, we're from another world. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. We live here in this world. We're passing through, though. That's mystical, but it's real, you know. And if we don't have perspective, that comes from heaven. We've got to pray from heaven to earth. Yeah, I've heard this phrase from a number of people. Instead of earth from heaven, earth from heaven is crying out, and it's when you see the problems and you ask God to change it. That's viable, by the way. He said, ask.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real prayer. And I do that. I still do that. But when you pray from heaven to earth, it's the other way around. It's when you see the potential and you release God's power to change it from that perspective. And when, you know, when I'm on the Senate floor, I'm there nonpartisan. And I try to keep my heart just so open. And I see Republicans and Democrats alike. And I'm seeing their heart, and I'm talking to them personally, and I'm hearing their heart. And Republicans and Democrats, you know, they could easily divide because they see the political agenda. But at the end of the day, there are some things that they share in common that they want. And it can either create anger or we can come together. You know, you can rule by majority, which is democracy. I understand that. Or we can lead by influence. Leading by influence takes more time and it takes patience. But if you're patient with the process, you will receive the promise. By the way, that's a word for somebody right now, indeed. I believe.
Say that again in case they need to rehear that.
If you're patient with whatever process you're going through, some of you are in process. You've got a promise, but it hasn't happened yet, and you seem like you're going through a real difficult time. But if you're patient with the process, you will receive the promise. I think of Joseph. The Bible says, until he, I can't
the
quote
time
it.
Time came.
Until the time came for him to receive the promise, God tested his character. And you know what? I believe that if we can get our perspective right and start to pray and start to declare blessing over this nation, it'll change everything.
Oh, so good. You know, one of the things, I was a number of years ago, Dr. Richard Swenson, who's an analyst and a scientist and a doctor, he's a brilliant man. He wrote the book Margins, but he watches trends and shifts in culture. And he said this about 6 years ago, there's been a shift that we're not going to retreat from, so to speak, in the culture, just in the times that we're in.
Yeah.
And he, one of the things he predicted is you're going to see a steady rise in anarchy. And you're seeing that. And you have just some thoughts on the power of protest versus the power of prayer.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A couple of months ago, the Twin Cities made national news. I was watching it during news time. I try not to watch a lot of news for this very reason, but somehow I saw this, and it showed thousands and thousands. I'm not sure if there was like 100,000, but they were showing it on national news of people marching through our streets in protest. They were blocking traffic, and I looked at that, and I thought, what would happen if instead of thousands of people meeting together to protest, what would happen if thousands of people gathered together to pray? You see, I believe that prayer is much more powerful. You know, there's so much more power than the protest. There's the anger that comes out of the protest, but prayer that's soaked with mercy changes everything. And I believe that when we walk in that, it will change a city. It'll change a nation.
Okay, so we've literally got about 2.5-3 minutes left. Pastor, the time just flew right by. And I want to give you a moment to talk about an upcoming gathering in the Twin Cities. But we want you to know, friends listening from outside the Twin Cities, there is a gathering in your city tomorrow on this National Day of Prayer. I challenge you to check it out. But talk to us about Pulse, because you'll be very involved with that event.
Well, you know, all across the nation, tomorrow on the National Day of Prayer, I believe every capital that's in the nation, every state, there are people that are gathering for prayer. And we're going to be doing that at our capital tomorrow at 11:30. And then we're all gathering together through this event called Unite. There's this wonderful national organization called Pulse with Nick Hall. And I just love Nick, and I love
this. He's a firecracker.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole group, what I'm so thankful for is it's a young adult movement that's rising up. I believe, by the way, we're going to see this merge together with all generations. But we're meeting together at the U.S. Bank Stadium at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And I believe this is an opportunity for people to come together. And there's places all over the nation. So I'd encourage your listeners to really maybe just Google it and find out where they're meeting in your state. But we're going to pray. And there's three things that we're praying for. Well, there's probably many others. But I know in my own heart, I want to see revival in the church. I do want to see the church empowered. Second of all, I'm praying for unity in the church, the body of Christ. You know, we've got so many denominations and so many movements, but God is looking for one new man. Ezekiel 22:30 says, the nation was in disrepair, and he says, I look for one man, one woman to stand in the gap, and there was none. In my Bible, I wrote, God, you got me.
Yeah.
But then we were meeting, we had 700, almost 800 pastors meet together. And I said, Lord, there's 800 that are meeting. He says, no, you missed it. God spoke to my heart and just said, I'm not looking for 800. I'm looking for 800 to become one.
Hmm.
One. I'm looking for one. And that's going to change our nation.
And boy, and even scripture just talks about that. He commands a blessing. He can't not when we walk in unity. And Pastor, you're going to be at the Twin Cities gathering tomorrow leading the way, and pray that you will engage in it. Let's get ready now and pray for our nation. Would love to have you lead us, Pastor, and just let's all lean in and let's pray for this nation, regardless of what you think about what's going on. We are blessed to live in this country.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much right about it. And may we just appeal to God's heart for mercy. And let's pray.
Father, we come before you humbly. We open up our heart to you, Jesus. We thank you that you've given us a promise that you would build our church. You would build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, forgive us for trying to build it ourselves. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bring a fresh move of your Spirit through every church. Not just the big churches, but that gathering of 30 people that's meeting in a house, that urban ministry that seems like it's isolated and alone. I pray, Father, that you would fill your church with the knowledge of your presence and glory. I pray for this nation, Father, that there would be revival, that there be renewal and restoration. Lord, the answer to the anger and the divide in our nation is found in your house, where people come together in unity and in love. We pray, God, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I just honor you, Pastor, for all the work you do for the kingdom. Thank you. Thank you for your heart and for your service.
Thank you, Susie. I thank you so much, and to your listeners. I'm so thankful that we're all one church.
Indeed.
We're all one church.
In
this together. One body. We're in this together.
Love it. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I pray one of the things you got out of this conversation is that your prayers matter, your blessing matters, even your perspective matters. You are living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this. God has great things he wants to do in and through you. And remember this too, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.